Good afternoon. My name is Vince Verna. I'm Vice President and National Legislative Representative for the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen. I've been in the rail industry since 1994. I'm a freight rail engineer for the Union Pacific. I'd like to thank Administrator Bowes and the FRA for offering this hearing for public comment relating to the Georgia Central Railroad and Heart of Georgia's waiver request to test the parallel system equipment during several test phases. The BLET is a duly designated and recognized collective bargaining representative for over 31,000 active locomotive engineers and trainmen. Consequently, we have a vested interest in the safety of the nation's rail network on which our members operate. Further, we have an interest in any new technology that could potentially be introduced to the rail network. The BLET has consistently advocated in favor of technology that makes workers safer. We believe that technology should be used to improve the safety and experience of people on the job, not to reduce employees solely in the pursuit of profit margins. To that end, we are pleased that the equipment at issue has included a place for certified locomotive engineers in the operation of its proposed automated rail car technology. We believe that even as this equipment develops, the experience and knowledge of a certified locomotive engineer will remain indispensable. BLET have many critical safety concerns with the program as submitted to the FRA. There are key safety requirements currently in the Code of Federal Regulations that were put there by learning lessons the hard way. And this equipment is new, but is similar to remote control operations in practice. Although these cars do not require a locomotive or have any place on them for a person to ride in the car, BLET is unclear how using this equipment would provide equivalent levels of safety for workers who perform duties around or adjacent to the PS-type cars. The same question goes for the surrounding community. Pedestrians who may encounter the cars either on a normal or inadvertent basis. Although GCR and HOG submission to FRA claims that their request is limited in scope to accommodate novel technology, it forces FRA to consider wholesale waiving of certain parts of the CFR. BLET understands that novel equipment may need to use different standards to achieve safety. Equipment that is designed to not have a locomotive cab does not need to be concerned with working light bulbs at a control stand, for example. However, the same novel equipment must have its own attendant safety regulations that help ensure safe operations. The subject is not just about the regulations that get waived, it is about the regulations that get adopted to govern the safe use of new equipment. Specifically, we're concerned that this equipment may be deployed before it is developed enough to be ready for prime time. The automated rail cars are very heavy due to their electric batteries, and without the presence of locomotives, these cars have fewer options to brake and come to a controlled stop. The stopping distance that we've observed in demonstrations is concerning. And it's really not acceptable in the current form of the cars unless they were to operate in anything but a completely closed corridor. The animation that is out there is aspirational. It's well produced, but it's not really an accurate depiction of what the equipment looks like or how it performs in what we've seen. It works nice as a commercial for a desired product, but it fails to sort of represent how the actual equipment looks or performs. Traditional operations with locomotives offer many different options that a locomotive engineer can call upon, depending on the specific situation, to bring a train to a safe and controlled stop. A conventional local job on the railroad can accomplish everything that is being discussed as a potential benefit, and it can do it right now. The automated cars do not have the same safety redundancies, while they also introduce some hazards with the weight and presence of batteries that don't exist today. Transportating safely transportating batteries has been the topic of many DOT working groups and advisory committees. And if any derailment of these cars occurs, the presence of the batteries would necessitate a hazardous materials response, regardless of the goods being carried and the containers being hauled. One could imagine how much could go wrong if a derailment occurred with a container carrying hazardous materials that interacted with leaking batteries. Secondly, we're concerned that the cars do not have enough or the variety of sensors that would even come close to the kinds of moment-to-moment assessments that a certified locomotive engineer and certified conductor in the cab of a locomotive are able to make. We're concerned that trespassers, environmental hazards, equipment on the track, or track employees would not be detected. Problems at grade crossings and how collisions will be handled without personnel being present to assess severity or injuries to the public. We understand there will be certain safeguards involving people during the test phases, such as flagged crossings, but there's no plan to do how that's going to look after the operations actually begin. Even the batteries themselves need sensors to detect heat, both externally to ensure that a sparking bearing does not pose a risk to the battery, and internally to detect a thermal runaway event of the type that many people learned about for the first time when smartphones caused a series of fires aboard passenger airplanes. Looking further into the test program proposed, we believe that FRA must exercise scrutiny into the proposed platooning of automated cars. The system as contained in the submission is not first mile, last mile. It is much further in the milepost locations in the submission, interchanging or moving over interlockings, and how that will be done with Class 1 railroads is of another concern. And connecting a couple dozen automated cars that weigh up to 70,000 pounds and potentially being double stacked with shipping containers create one of the most difficult to handle trains that a locomotive engineer would ever handle. And let's be clear, a platoon is a train without a locomotive, without the benefits of the braking options that we've discussed. Platooning has no regulatory standards. It's a concept. Current rail infrastructure depends on equipment that works in a way that is interoperable. This includes the safety benefits and regulatory requirements of positive train control. Current prototype equipment being demonstrated is not designed to be compatible with current rail equipment. It is novel in a way that is currently incompatible with extant rail equipment. The submission appears to be more of a test to see how many parts of the Code of Federal Regulations can be waived at one time. We respectfully disagree with what is stated in the submission to FRA that the request is narrow. The submission is asking for FRA to waive a great number of regulations in one fell swoop. We believe FRA should not revisit its mistakes of the past that are haunting our present with remote control technology. Before remote control equipment was introduced, there was no person had ever run themselves over by their own train or cut of cars. But sadly, that's been a reality too often that has been investigated. This new equipment requires not just leaving behind anachronistic regulations, but devising novel regulations to attend to the new risks not present in prior forms of rail equipment. Novel regulations should answer the questions meant to be solved by the regulations they displace. For example, obstructed vision requirements in 229 locomotive safety standards aren't necessary if you don't have a locomotive cab, but a new problem that was never solved with the adoption of remote control locomotives, and hopefully FRA will resolve here, are all of the line of sight problems that can plague operations such as this. You can't stop for what you cannot see or what you cannot detect. This needs to be addressed through new regulations and fixed for current RCL operations. An accident's severity increases as speed increases. Pushing the envelope may be an admirable quality in a tech startup company, but it is unadvisable in railroad operations. C3RS is a promising reporting program, but it will not safeguard this equipment's operations. When we mention FRA in this context, we mean the FRA across many administrations over many years. We really believe it's time for the personnel occupying positions of importance at FRA to regulate the industry when and where it is needed. The agency needs to regain its muscle memory as a regulatory body at a time when new regulations are needed to address different types of equipment and operations. New business models that stretch the limits of rail employees and infrastructure are becoming normalized and require corners to be cut to function. We do believe FRA's leadership is poised to do the diligence necessary to determine the new regulatory action that needs to accompany new types of rail equipment. But it's past time for a regulatory policy that places common sense safety standards as the priority. Now is the time to welcome technology that leverages the highly skilled foundations of rail crafts honed over generations to ensure railroad safety, efficiency, and profitability. We're grateful that the FRA has given us the opportunity to testify on behalf of our members today. In good conscience, we cannot recommend that FRA allow this equipment to be introduced in anything other than a sealed testing environment at this time. Every additional phase of testing needs to be approached with caution, as the manufacturers themselves are not very knowledgeable about rail operations. We understand that other industries may have a test-it-as-you-go approach, but the rail industry is very different from the general consumer tech market. When operating such heavy equipment, traveling at speed, it is imperative to ensure everything is safe prior to introducing new technology into the general rail network. From our attendance at multiple demonstrations of the automated cars, the technology is just not developed enough yet to meet a basic level of safety that is needed to be used outside of dedicated, unconnected testing facilities. The equipment that as the equipment and infrastructure evolves, we will reevaluate our position. There are currently only a rudimentary camera system mounted on the cars, and line of sight issues that will exist on RCL equipment. Issues FRA has never resolved will continue to be an issue with this type of equipment. I would like to reiterate that BLET supports technology as a general matter and innovation that makes our members safer. This is different equipment. We are here to protect the safety of our members and rail operations, and we do everything we can to prevent workplace injuries and fatalities. Currently, the equipment we have seen is not in the best interest of our members or the public. This isn't to say people trying to make this work are not good people or who are trying to do something different. It's just to tell FRA to do their regulatory diligence when allowing new and different forms of equipment to be introduced into the rail system. The type of sealed corridor infrastructure that would be necessary to operate cars of this type does not exist, and the appetite to bear the cost of building such an infrastructure does not appear to be present. Thank you again for offering this important forum. We will submit a copy of this testimony to the public docket, in addition to more in-depth comments discussing the specific safety regulations where waivers have been requested. And I'd be happy to answer questions or offer clarifications for a brief bit. Thank you very much.